Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco for March 17, 2005. Today, some responses to last night's public hearing in Perry on the LNG terminal proposed for Passamaquoddy land at Sepayac.
Held a public meeting to hear proponents and opponents of the liquefied natural gas terminal proposed for location on Passamaquoddy land at Pleasant Point. On March 28th, the residents of Perry will cast a vote which appears to have the ability to stop the project. In 1986, the town of Perry annexed 390 acres of land to the Passamaquoddy tribe with the stipulation that if there was commercial development proposed for the land, the town would have a vote. Initially, developers and tribal leadership wished to classify the LNG terminal as industrial development. As it became apparent, the vote's necessity was legally binding. Developer Quaddy Bay LLC has involved itself in heavy lobbying of the town of Perry, including offering the town $350,000 a year for operational costs with additional monetary promises. And they have also engaged in public allegations in the press and in a townwide mailing that those opposing the project were being funded by wealthy sources from outside the state and in Canada. Developers and tribal leadership have also tried to paint activists opposed to the project as extremists. Last night, Donald Smith and Brian Smith of Smith Cogeneration, partners in Quaddy Bay LLC, spoke in support of the project. A number of people from the town of Perry and the surrounding communities spoke against it. Today we hear reactions from some of these activists. On next Wednesday's Voices, we'll have further coverage, including the view of opponents on the project. Right now we hear from three Perry residents, Gary and Janine Geisinger and Meg Otis, and later from artist and educator David Moses Bridges from the Passamaquoddy tribe at Pleasant Point.
What is that you have there?
I have some big Canadian money.
Also, I didn't know if you took notice of one of our obvious fundraising events. We had some homemade donuts for sale. Did you get one? That's some of our well-heeled people from out of town.
The bakery industry.
The bakery industry.
So, do you want to talk about these comments being made in public about the big money coming from out of state and juxtaposition with this letter?
My impression is that they're all small donations. I mean, we've had a few in the hundreds of dollars, but they're just people from the area and people who have lived here and moved away, who read the Quaddy Tides. To my knowledge, we were not being supported by Irving Oil or anybody else. I think this is paranoia on their part.
Do you want to compare it to?
Frankly, we think they're accusing us of outside agitators with lots of money, and we think they're the outside agitators, and they certainly have lots of money. We can't. If I could go out for Perry $500,000 to vote yes to reject, I would do it. We don't have that kind of money.
There's a sentence here. It says it would be a shame for Washington County to lose this lasting opportunity for jobs and economic development due to the selfish interests of people who don't even live here. I don't think that applies to us.
Shall we talk about who doesn't live here?
Any other comments about what was heard tonight? This is actually great.
Do you censor this or anything, or can we get serious here?
No, this is a good response.
I think when Don Smith said that Gleason's Cove was not a pristine area, you could feel the chill in the room. He just lost most of us. That was the most outrageous statement I've ever heard.
It's the town's only public access to the water with the boat ramp. That's the only one in the town. There really isn't any other place to put one. It is a park down there. There's a ball diamond and picnic tables and barbecue pits. And the boat ramp I mentioned at Gleason's Cove. And this is the area that they're talking about putting the LNG pier, which runs 3/4 mile out through the middle of this cove. And he said that he didn't think it would change the dynamics that much of the cove. I don't see how you can make a statement like that. If you take something that's has a fishing weir and a few fishing boats sitting in it currently, and you put a 3/4 mile long pier and park a humongous tanker out at the end of it, it seems to me you're going to change the dynamics of this area.
Yeah, if you just were leaving from the boat landing and going to Eastport, you'd add a mile and a half to your trip. You'd have to go out around this pier.
If you could go. And another thing they said, which really irritates me, is that they keep coming up with these circles, and they keep saying that the exclusion zone around the boat will only be 50 feet to 100 feet and things of that nature. And I attended a meeting recently at which Brian Smith, the son of the father, that's a quote, spoke, and he said, and it was brought up in that meeting, that the Coast Guard has the final say of all of these things, such as safety zones, exclusion zones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for them to stand, and all of the ports are different. The Boston area is different. The Lake Charles area is different. They all have different requirements, and the Coast Guard sets different parameters on those things. So they can't sit here tonight at any time and say it's only going to be 50 feet or 100 feet because they don't know. It could be 500 feet. It could be 1,000 feet. It might be 2 feet. Not realistically, but the Coast Guard sets all of those standards, and they haven't done that yet. Do what?
Live in Perry.
Do we live in Perry? Yeah. Of course not.
Yes.
We're rich people from New York City. No. Yeah. We do live in Perry. We lived here since 1976. Our children have gone to high school here, elementary school here. We own a business here. We built our house nail by nail, literally ourselves. We're still building it as home doer types do. They keep building it and building it.
Well, then tell me what you think of this monetary offer they're making the town.
It's a joke.
What was that?
It's a joke. And the reason we say that, I mean, $340,000 is nothing to sneer at. That's a lot of money. But if they bring 1,000 to 2,000 construction workers in here to build this for a 3-year period on a boom cycle like that, boom and bust cycle, which is what happens with those things, our school have to be expanded, our infrastructure, our roads, bridges, et cetera, will need repair. There has to be more housing. The fire department has to be upgraded, all these kinds of things. And when you take all of that into account, $340,000 will probably lose money because $340,000 isn't going to cover those sort of expenses. They said that they would supply firefighting equipment above and beyond the $340,000. And they're going to send some of it to Callis and some of it to Pembroke and some to Perry. And the fire is at Pleasant Point. So they're going to call Callis and say, remember that fire truck we loaned you? Can you get it down here? Well, it's in the middle of the winter. It's icy as hell. There's snow all over the place. You know, it's 25 miles away. I don't think so. That's just flies in this. That doesn't make any sense. But they say that with a straight face, and I don't understand that. But I think, and if another thing, and our Perry's budget is not $640,000. It's almost $2 million. The school budget alone is over $1 million. So for them to say that the $340,000 is half of the town's operating budget is wrong to begin with. And unfortunately, tonight, with the way the meeting was set up, we couldn't rebut a lot of that stuff. You know, we're sitting over there just seething and itching and wanting jumping up and down, wanting to say, but we couldn't. So, and they're very smooth and very polished at these kinds of things, which we are not. And they planted some questions, obviously. People came up and asked pointed questions of them so they could get their points across, and you have to hand it to them. But we just have to do what we can do.
Do you have, at this point, a sense of how you think the vote might go in Perry?
We're going to kill them. No question. We took that petition around to just have people sign it if they were against it. And people practically pulled it out of our hands to sign it. I didn't go to one person. Except I'll take that back. I went to one person who didn't have anything to do with it. But people invited me into their houses, people I don't even know, and I've lived here for a long time. Sit down, talk about this, give me that thing, let me sign it. 300 people. And they're doing everything they can. They're sending out letters. They have a phone thing going on. The LNG people, yeah. And they have a big, powerful public relations agency. which I don't know if you know the background with that. Dennis Bailey and the casinos know. And so then ask yourself, if Dennis worked against the tribe on the casino and the tribe doesn't like him and the Quaddy Bay people hired him anyway, what does that say about the control that the tribe has over this process? Zero.
Again, on March 28th, the town of Perry will vote whether or not to support the building of an LNG terminal at Pleasant Point, a vote which could stop the project. Partner in Quaddy Bay LLC, Donald Smith, said he doesn't like the quickness of the town vote, a sentiment not lost on the Passamaquoddy tribal members, many of whom felt the vote that they were required to make was too fast. We hear from artist and educator David Moses Bridges from the Passamaquoddy tribe at Pleasant Point. Respond to the behavior of Donald Smith, Brian Smith, and Savvy and Corporate. There's been a lot in the media and a lot of they've been out in the community quite a lot lately talking. Can you talk about this?
Sure. They have been out in the community quite a bit for the first time in 10 months. And the reason for this, of course, is Article 40. They were more than willing to screw over the town of Perry and the surrounding communities until they figured out that they were bound by Article 40. And the thing about Article 40 is they were unaware of this, which is why they made no overtures to the town of Perry until this time. Since that time, after their lawyers have looked at everything and determined that they are bound by Article 40, they've started a media campaign under the guise of, under the leadership of Dennis Bailey and Savvy Incorporated. And what it's come down to is that it's more personal attacks on people who are in opposition to this than about the issue itself. They've referred to people in eSport as ignorant. They have referred to the people in Perry in eSport, anyone who's opposed to it, they've compared them to a pie thrower from down south. They have said that we are funded by rich, out-of-state individuals, which is laughable because I'm spending my own money on this and my own time. And they've yet to talk about the issue at all. It's just a media campaign on their part, which slanders individuals who are opposed to this, who have legitimate questions about the safety of their families and themselves. And that's what it's come to.
They also called Dr. Fay an extremist.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, how do you respond to that? I mean, here's a man who spent his career studying issues much like this and is neither a gadfly or an extremist, as he's been referred to. He's just a man who knows what he's talking about. And if they can refute his opinion in an open debate, then I'd love to see them try.
Can you talk about the letter they sent out to residents in Perry, was it? And the type of organizing they've been doing. They've been meeting with a lot of people and trying to drum up support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're meeting with the fishermen. They're meeting with the Copscook Bay Lake, Boyden's Lake Association, Copscook Bay fishermen, individuals in Perry. And obviously this is a campaign on their part to offer money. It's all they really have to offer. There's still, as I said, little discussion about the issue itself, about the impact that a facility is going to have on here, about what a boom economy is going to do to this place, and what happens when the boom busts. They have really yet to discuss the full impact of this issue. Just like they did here last summer at Zibayig, they're offering money, lots of money, and lots of promises, which, in my opinion, are empty promises. They're trying to get their vote while providing as little information as possible. Because as I brought up at last night's Perry meeting, the issue that was voted on here at Zibayig last summer is different from what we're looking at now. Our traditional grounds at Chebeskiyug, we were told all last summer that these are not going to be endangered in any way, that access to them won't be denied. Now, for the first time, we find out that they are. We will be denied. And they're talking about moving them. Where? Who knows? I don't even think they care where. I think if they cared, they wouldn't be threatening those areas. So I have to wonder what's in store for Perry. If they get a positive vote in Perry, are they going to use that as a mandate to do whatever they want? Because that's certainly what they did here. And they're doing it with the blessing of some of our tribal leaders, which I think is unfortunate. you know, there's a campaign now in Perry to get their vote, and just like it was here, lots of promises, and lots of positioning as though they care about what happens around here in the future. You know, as human beings, maybe they do care about the environment and community impact and things like that, but this is a corporation. This is the oil and gas industry. The bottom line, their bottom line, is what they care about most. Everything else will be secondary. You know, much like the vote here, as I said, which promised one thing and delivered another, I think we can expect that in Perry as well. This is the oil and gas industry at work, and that's what they do.
Madonna Sakthoma got up last night and clarified that the tribal support that they've been purporting is actually minimal compared to the whole of the tribe of Passamaquoddy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's 3,000 tribal members who fall under the name Passamaquoddy Tribe. The vote that took place here, people were denied the opportunity to vote here on this huge issue. The vote was isolated to the Sabayig Band, for one thing. But even within the Sabayig Band of the Passamaquoddy Tribe, people who are from here and who may plan on living here one day, who are tribal members, did not have the right to vote. They were denied the right to vote, and I think that's a travesty of justice myself.
Did you say that, did you mention the other reservation?
The other reservation as well should definitely weigh in. I mean, this is Passamaquoddy territory. We have families over there. They have families over here. They had no say at all. And the first time they were even addressed was with the Dennis Bailey spin campaign that came through town, you know, that whole show, which was in itself just comical, in my opinion. Still no information. Same old recycled information anyway, really. LNG is safe, non-toxic, and non-explosive, you know. Unless, of course, it gets near fire, you know, then it may be explosive and non-toxic.
Now, they actually ate LNG at this particular, or drank LNG at this particular?
I wish he drank some, but, well, no, actually, I don't wish that, because I don't wish harm on anybody.
The newspaper said he drank.
Oh, really? Well, he'd have a frozen esophagus if he did. But what he did do is he eat some Cheerios, which, I mean, I almost fell out of my chair watching him. He poured it on Cheerios and took a handful of it and ate them. So, I mean.
So the education presentation that they were, their community education campaign was going around to Indian Township, Pleasant Point, Eastport, Perry.
Yeah.
And what was their basic message, and what did they do? They ate Cheerios.
Yeah. The basic message was that LNG is safe, non-toxic, and non-explosive. So that's all they keep saying. Same thing they were saying last summer.
Now, Donald Smith last night expressed his, but basically Donald Smith expressed his concern about what he seemed to be referring to as a rush vote in Perry, with people not having all the information before. What would your response to be this?
The irony is killing me. A rushed vote. Between the time of the announcement on June 8th of last year and the vote on August 17th.
Here.
Yeah. From the initial meeting, the state-sponsored marketing meeting on June 22nd, to the vote is less than 2 months.
Here at
Sabayig, yeah, here at Sabayig. And so, yeah, I know all about rushed votes, and this one is not working in Don's favor, so that's why he's feeling the rush. Our group, Save Passamaquoddy Bay, Nulankeyudman Ngitak Migan. That's what we were asking for, was more time for people to study this enormous issue, which is going to impact their community. And we wanted more time. We asked for 90 days, and less than 2 weeks later, we were voting on it. Obviously, the tribal leadership was operating operating to meet the wishes of Donald Smith in Quaddy Bay, LLC.
Again, you can hear more coverage on this issue on Voices next Wednesday.
And moving on to our next story, our final story, events will be held around the country this weekend marking the second anniversary of the Iraq War. Ilse Petersons of the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine is with us today to tell us about what's planned for this area. Thanks for joining us, Ilse.
Thank you, Amy, for having me. There's so much good stuff happening. It's really exciting. There'll be a rally followed by a discussion at the University of Maine in Orono on Friday, March 18th at noon between the library and the student union. And that will be followed by a discussion sponsored by the Maine Peace Action Committee at the University of Maine. On Saturday, March 19th, there will be a rally in Augusta called March for Truth, beginning at 11 a.m. at the State Capitol building. And carpools are being organized in Ellsworth, leaving from City Hall parking lot at 9 a.m., and Blue Hill at the Liberty School parking lot at 9 a.m. And in Bangor, those who are unable to go to Augusta will form a chain of concern at Cascade Park, leading from the hospital towards the cemetery. And there will be a send-off at 9:30 for those who do want to go to Augusta. And those who stay will then have a chance to come for a potluck and discussion at the center to talk about how we can continue to build the movement to stop this war. And in Machias, there will be a teach-in at the University of Maine in the Portside Lounge from 1 to 4. Mm-hmm. For more information on that, folks can call Brian and Pam Dyer-Stewart, 483-6133. And those who would like to get more information about all the different events that are happening can visit our website at www.pctr.org. And on Sunday, the 20th, there will be a resistance ride starting at noon, Broadway Park in Bangor, that's being organized by some young people. And people are being encouraged to bring bikes, banners, and whatever.
So, Ilse, first I want to ask you to explain what a chain of concern is, and then what a resistance ride is for anybody who may not be aware.
The chain of concern is something that we started before the war started as a way of making the connections between what was going to be happening to the people of Iraq and to our troops once the war started. So we started at the hospital and aimed towards the cemetery, and we had people holding signs, pictures of Iraqis and signs. And then after the war started, we would hold pictures of Iraqis and signs, and also the costs of war in terms of dollars and the lives of troops and civilians in Iraq as well. So it's a way of standing up and showing our concern for what is going on. And there's a continuity since we started this before the war started, and we're continuing on now in an attempt to stop it.
So it's a human chain.
It's a human chain, that's right. And we're encouraging people. We will have signs that people are welcome to hold. And the focus is on the costs of war, both human, financial.
Okay, so people can bring their own or they can come and you'll have some signs for them. And then what about the resistance ride? What is that?
I don't know much about it other than there's a group of young people involved with Food Not Bombs who are getting together at Broadway Park, and this is, the flyer says, because we won't stand for one more day of war. They say, bring your bikes, banners, costumes, friends, and warm clothes. So that's all I know about it.
Okay. Actually, thank you, Ilse. Thanks for joining us. And with that information, can you give your contact information one more time?
The phone number is 942-9343, and our website is www.peacctr.org.
Okay, so if you missed any of that, call Ilse Petersons at the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Ilse.
Thank you. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown. Joel Mann engineered today's program. Andy Buckley does web and technical support.
You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactive@maineindymedia.org. You can listen to our programs or download archive programs at our website, radioactivenews.org.
Thanks for listening and acting. Stay tuned to WERU for Hightower coming up next, then more independent news.